As we come tonight to the book of John, once again, we are doing studies in the book of John, and John is a little bit different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are what we call the synoptic gospels, meaning they're similar in many respects because they tell some of the same stories, some of the same miracles, but each from each writer's perspective under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. John speaks about the deity of Christ, and he focuses our attention on many things about the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter number 2 for tonight, one of the miracles that Jesus performed at Cana of Galilee. Now, in chapter 2, verses 1 through 11 tonight, what we see is a snapshot from the life of Jesus. And in these verses, we see a wedding that's taken place. This wedding, obviously, perhaps was someone related to Jesus. Maybe it was one of his siblings. Maybe it was some other family member. But Mary, the mother of Jesus, is involved heavily in the festivities that is taking place here. And as we look at this particular chapter for tonight, or verses 1 through 11, I want to focus in on this miracle at Cana of Galilee. It says, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now there were 6 stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. So they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the head waiter. So they took it to him. When the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, every man serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then he serves the poor wine. But you've kept the good wine until now. This beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there a few days. Someone said to me not long ago, they said, you know, Jesus turned the water into wine, and you Southern Baptists turned it into grape juice. Well, I thought that was kind of an interesting comment, and I didn't really comment. I just listened and smiled. But tonight, as we look at this particular miracle, what I want us to notice in verses 1 and 2, Christ, his participation in the events of life. His participation in the events of life. You know, a lot of people see God as this transcendent figure that's up there in the heavens, that he set the world in motion, and then he just took his hands away, and the world just goes rocking and reeling according until all the film runs out, et cetera, et cetera. But that is not true. Even though God is transcendent there, he lives within our hearts through the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. And we see in verses 1 and 2 about this wedding in Cana of Galilee. Of course, the mother of Jesus is there. Verse 2 says that Jesus was there. His disciples were there. But notice it says they were invited to the wedding. I really doubt that any of us would ever show up at a wedding that we were not invited to. I mean, if you go to a wedding, it's because you were an invited guest of that wedding. And notice, whatever the situation here, that Mary, being somewhat in charge of some of the things that are taking place, obviously there's some connection here to this great celebration that's going on. We're not told, it doesn't tell us who's getting married, but just reading from the verses, we could speculate that maybe it's a close kinsman to Jesus. Could be a cousin. It could be one of his siblings. But the important thing that you and I need to see in this scene, what it's teaching us, it's teaching us that Jesus chooses to participate in the festivities of what was going on in the life of this particular event. Now, notice the call. Jesus is here by invitation. Somebody had the thoughtfulness to invite Jesus to this event. You and I should never be guilty of attempting to exclude Jesus from any event that is happening in our lives. I think too often people fail to realize that wherever you and I go, we're representing the kingdom of heaven because of the Holy Spirit of the living God that lives within our hearts and life. And wherever we go, we're taking him with us. And he is the invited guest here. I think it's hugely important for you and me to understand out of verse 2 that not only Jesus and these disciples of his, but they're invited to the wedding. So many people in life fail to invite Jesus to go with them. Now, if we are saved and we know beyond a shadow of doubt that we've trusted Christ and he lives within our heart through the Holy Spirit, you know, it's just nice that we invite him always to be front and center and to go with us throughout our everyday lives. I don't know about you, but when you get in your car and you drive down the road, you ought to invite Jesus to be there as a rider in your car, that he would direct every step of the way and whatever is taking place in that event. He deserves inclusion into all that you and I do. And so many people in life, they don't include Jesus in their life. They go about their menial task of life, the everyday affairs of life, and then whenever we get in a jam or we get into a tight situation or we are inundated on every hand by all kinds of burdens that's taken place, and then we suddenly remember we've done everything but invite Jesus to be a part of what it is that's happening in our lives, whether it's through sickness, whether it's through grief. You know, that old song that we sing, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Now, I want you to notice here, Jesus is left oftentimes in our lives standing on the outside. He wants to be included. He wants to be invited in to what's taking place in our hearts and life. But let me tell you, Jesus doesn't force his way in to our lives, but he stands there patiently. He is the solution to all of the problems that you and I have in life. He is the one that we can always turn to. And patiently, Jesus is waiting, patiently waiting, knocking at the door, wanting to be invited in. But I want you to notice also Christ's consideration. Notice that when he's called, Jesus came. Now, verse 3 says, "When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him," they have no wine. Notice Mary comes to Jesus. And Jesus said to her, woman. Now, when you read that, when it says woman, that would appear to you and to me in the modern world that we live in that that would be of disrespect. But that was not the case in the ancient Middle East of 2,000 years ago. It was a word of honor. It was a word of respect. And Jesus stands there. And he's ready to bring a solution to the problem. In those days, as they were having weddings, first of all, it was a matter of honor. The bridegroom was the one who was responsible for all of the supplies at this wedding feast. And secondly, if you ran out, it was a great embarrassment. Even in that day, you could have been fined, which sounds pretty unbecoming to you and to me, that we would not want to be fined because we didn't have enough food for the guests. Any of y'all ever been to a wedding where they ran out of food? Have you ever been to something that you were invited to and they just had not planned for the crowd? There was a third thing here in some instances. If you ran out of these things, it became a public embarrassment to the groom and to the groom's family. And as I mentioned a few moments ago, in some instances, the offending family that did not provide the adequate means or the supplies could be fined. And so, therefore, it became a great problem. Now, when Jesus said in verse 4, to her, woman, what does that have to do with us? In other words, Jesus was making a statement that here, whoever the wedding party is, it was their responsibility to have everything in place, to have all of the provisions suitable for the occasion. Based upon the number of invited guests, I've often thought down through the years as I've gone to various events and gone to event centers where food was catered by someone, and I'm sure that somewhere in culinary school and somewhere in catering and somewhere in all the mathematical formulas of figuring the exact amount of this and the exact amount of that, based upon the number of recipients that were invited to such an occasion, how that it must put great stress upon the caterer of the event to make sure that they have enough and an adequate supply for whatever event is being set up for. Now in verse 4, in that very last phrase, my hour, Jesus says, my hour has not yet come. In other words, Jesus was here on a mission from the Master. He had a responsibility. It was what he was here to do and to be. And as Mary comes and lets him know that the wine has run out, obviously, Mary understands and knows more about her son and that he is a miracle worker and that he can bring a miracle to this situation because she comes to the right person. She comes to the one who is the one who has a solution to our problems. Let me ask you a question. When you have a problem, do you go to the main source? Do you go to the one who is the solution to whatever the situation is that you are encountering in life? You see, oftentimes we talk to our friends, we talk to various people about a problem that exists. But when we first and foremost should take it to the Lord, this particular passage here in the book of John, this teaches you and me that Jesus is the source. Jesus is the source of everything that you and I will ever need in life. Now, you and I may want more than what Jesus thinks we need, but when we have a problem that exists, we ought to take it to the Lord in prayer. We ought to be persistent in our praying. Let me tell you, I believe that persistence is important in praying. I've heard preachers down through the years say oftentimes, well, when you ask Jesus once, that was enough. Well, I've seen situations in the Bible where people were very persistent. They were very aggressive in what was urgent. You see, the tyranny of the urgent in our lives determines oftentimes how we really get down to the nuts and bolts of praying, that we are so burdened, we are so troubled that we would miss a meal, that we would fast and we would pray. God, help me in this situation. Notice in verse 5, the mother of Jesus, it says, his mother said to the servants, whatever he, speaking of Jesus, says to you, notice Mary says, do it. Notice she doesn't respond, don't question, just do it. That ought to be a lesson to you and to me whenever we have a great burden in our life. We ought to take it to Jesus in prayer. We ought to seek his word. We ought to meditate on whatever this problem is and know that in taking it to Jesus, he is a friend that is always there. And when we take our burden to the Lord, most of us pick up the burden and we take it back with us, don't we? I mean, if we're honest, we take our burden to the foot of the cross. But then we pick that burden up and carry it back with us. Now notice there was this problem that ensued. And in verses 3 through 5, we see a procedure. So his mother said in verse 5, whatever he says to you, do it. Now notice here in this time of trouble, Mary shows what we need to do when a situation is dear to our heart and life. Notice, we need to flee to Jesus. Flee to Jesus. That song that is more of a contemporary song, Come to Jesus. It's a great invitation. Weak and wounded spirit, come to Jesus. Now, when the problem arose here, Mary took it to the right source. She knew who the source was. Oftentimes in our lives, we choose many sources before we choose to go to the main source. Now, whatever is on display here, the fact remains that when confronted with a problem, Mary's first response was to run to Jesus, to flee to Jesus, to come to Jesus. What a great example that is for you and for me tonight. Come to Jesus. You know, we sing that old hymn, tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He's a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Now, and what we can learn is to follow his commands. Notice, this is the only command that was ever issued by the mother of Jesus in all of the Bible. And for the many who feel that Mary is to be reverenced and adored and worshiped and obeyed, this is excellent advice. Just do as Jesus says. You know, I'm grateful that we as Southern Baptists, we do not worship Mary. We don't have Mariology as a part of worship. There are others who do. But let me tell you, Mary just happened to be blessed of all women to be the vehicle through which the Holy Spirit would move upon her and she would carry the Christ child. So follow his commands. In the book of Matthew chapter 11 in verse 28, come to him. In 1 Peter 5, 7, cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. Romans 8, 28, trust him. Acts 16, 31, believe on him for salvation. Notice his performance. Jesus takes that which is ordinary and he makes it extraordinary here. He can change any situation when he's given the opportunity to. Notice in verse 6, now there were 6 stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Jesus said to them, speaking of these servants, Mary had already said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And verse 7, Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. Now notice the obedience. So they filled them up to the brim. And Jesus said to them, draw some out now and take it to the head waiter. Once again, notice the obedience. So they took it to him. When the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, and did not know where it came from. And notice in parentheses, that is put there to make the sentence better understood. But the servants who had drawn the water knew. The head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, every man serves the good wine first. And when the people have drunk freely, then he serves the poor wine. But you've kept the good wine until now. Now notice in this miracle, it was unconventional. Water was turned to wine. Let me tell you, Jesus won't always run on mine and your track. He moves in his own situation, but he may not do it our way. Have you noticed that? I alluded to that this morning, that a lot of people get mad at God. A lot of people turn and walk away from their faith. God, I prayed this. God, I did that. God, you didn't answer my prayer. God, you didn't do what I thought you ought to do. No, because the Bible plainly tells us that his ways are beyond our ways. Our understanding is not what he understands. His ways are so much beyond our human ways that oftentimes, more than not, he does something not on our time schedule, not on the track on which we run, but he does it according to his infinite sovereign will. Now notice it was uncommon. It was uncommon for something like this to happen. I mean, the best of the wine was always served first, and so this looks somewhat out of order, so to speak, to what the head waiters were normally accustomed to in this situation. But let me tell you, it was an uncommon situation. It was an unbelievable miracle that was performed in the very presence of these waiters. To everyone else, it was just wine. But to those who knew, to those who stood by, to those who had seen the incredible miracle, it certainly was a miracle of major proportions. And then there in verse 11, 10 and 11, Christ, not only his presence in our lives, but notice his provisions in the events of our life. He provided that which pertained to the flesh. Now you and I are flesh and blood and bone. And let me tell you, every need he supplieth. The Bible says His mercies are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. He provided that which pertained to the flesh, but He also provided that which pertained to faith. Notice there in verse 11, these disciples, they believed on Him. You see, our faith in Jesus is never misplaced, but our faith in Jesus is always on display. Let me ask you a question. Is your faith on display? Do people see your faith acted out in your daily life and all of the things that happen in our lives? Let me tell you, our faith in Jesus is never misplaced. Let me tell you, it's on display. Let me tell you, just a mustard seed, as tiny, as minuscule as that is, let me tell you, in our hour of need, let me tell you, Jesus honors that. Jesus blesses that. He provided that which pertained to the flesh that evening at this wedding, but He also provided that which pertained to the faith in verse 11 there. This beginning of His signs, Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested His glory, and His disciples believed in Him. Let me tell you, He provided that which pertained to the flesh. He provided that which pertained to the faith, and He provided there in verse 11 that which pertained to the future. Notice that phrase, manifested His glory. Let me tell you, when Jesus comes through, when Jesus does something for us, what does it do? It strengthens our faith, doesn't it? It gives bright hope for tomorrow. Let me tell you, in the feeding of the 5,000, we'll study later in the book of John here, chapter 6, 1 through 13. But in the feeding of the 5,000, those disciples were filled with doubt. Now, think about it. Before, we're too critical of those disciples. Had you and I been there in the midst of 5,000 hungry people, and we just saw the loaves and the bread and how minuscule that was, but Jesus took that, and everyone was fed. Everyone was satisfied with that. Those disciples were filled with doubt, and they did not believe that the Lord could do this thing. But later, over in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, when Jesus fed another group, which was the feeding of the 4,000, we don't find the disciples doubting in that situation. Let me tell you, they had seen Him work. They knew that Jesus was the solution to the problem in life. All I'm saying is this: when you see Jesus come through for you today, it gives you and me great hope that the same Jesus who comes through today will come through tomorrow for tomorrow's trials. He can move mountains today in our lives. He is the great mountain mover. He's the great source. He's the great provision. He's the great provider of life. And as we close here for this evening, Jesus is tied to the events of our lives. Jesus is tied to the events of our lives. So oftentimes, we walk away, we fret, we stew, we make comments, audible comments, silent comments about that God didn't do thus and thus. But let me tell you, God is always there. God is always watching. God is listening. God knows when we are the doubting Thomases in life. But let me tell you, Jesus is the source. Jesus is, as John says in verse 11, this beginning of his signs. Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. Let me tell you, when Jesus was coming to Palm Sunday before he would go to the cross, if you will remember, he stopped off. He had time on the way to his own death. He had time to stop off and perform the miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead. That same Jesus has the power tonight through God. Jesus has the power to give to you and to me that whatever we are encountering in life, whatever mountain it is out there that needs to be moved, he is the great mountain mover when we have that mustard seed faith. Let me tell you, in this story for tonight, do you have, do I have the faith of the grain of a mustard seed? To know that Jesus is the solution to every situation that we're experiencing in life. We take the burden upon ourselves and we carry the load. And I think that's why so many Christians become weary in this world, is because instead of letting Jesus carry the load, we stew about it, we fret about it, we pray about it, but then we pick that load back up and we put it around our neck and we go down the road of life burdened with that which Jesus is the solution to the need in our life and to the problems that we face and the problems we encounter. Let me tell you, he's the great miracle worker. Amen. God bless you for being here tonight. Would you stand? As we pray together, this is going to be our benediction for this evening. God bless you for being here tonight. Please be safe going out into the parking lot. The sun is shining. The grass is green. There's water in various places on the uneven parking lot out there. So please don't slide and trip your toe over something trying to get you to your car. God bless you. We'll be back on Wednesday night as we talk about program number 3. We'll look at the video, and then we will discuss that video not only Wednesday night, but following Wednesday night. A week from tonight, next Sunday night, we will not have services in here. It's Vacation Bible School, and we're centering all of our time and efforts on the kids for Sunday night through Thursday of next week. And so, actually, we won't meet on Wednesday night either because we've got Vacation Bible School. So on Sunday night next week and the following Wednesday night, we won't have services in here due to Vacation Bible School. So be sure and remember that we will meet this Wednesday evening, okay? So don't miss out on this Wednesday evening as we begin once again on the third program of 4 programs looking at the apologetics and why we know that the New Testament is the Word of Almighty God. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father, as we leave this place tonight, thank you for those that have gathered here. Father, I pray that you would bless their lives this week, enrich them. Father, through our studies, may we gain new insights into what we need to do, Father, to trust you more. Forgive us where we so fail you, where we fall so short in so many areas of life. Lord, encourage us, lift us up, help us, O God, to display our faith in you each day of our lives. For it's in Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here on this holiday weekend. Great crowd.